So can you really be an optimist if you're born a sinner? That's what the Catholic priest Matthew Fox wondered some 20 years ago, and he concluded the whole concept of original sin, a cornerstone of Christianity, is creating generations of pessimists. In 1983, Fox wrote Original Blessing. The book proved very controversial. In fact, the Vatican threw Fox out of the Dominican Order. He went on to start the University of Creation Spirituality and became an Episcopal priest. Matthew Fox talked with Steve Paulson about original sin.
First of all, the term was not used until the 4th century AD by St. Augustine. Jesus himself never used it. It's not a Jewish term. In fact, that's what woke me up to begin questioning it. I was teaching in a women's college in Lake Forest, Illinois, and one day after class, a Jewish woman in her 40s came up and said, "What is this thing called original sin that the students were talking about today?" And I said to her, "Well, surely you know about the story of the Garden of Eden." And she said, "Well, yeah, but I've been a Jew all my life. I've never heard a rabbi or anyone else mention the term original sin." So that's what woke me up. There's a big difference between the story of the fall and Augustine's notion of original sin, which is far more fierce and has really tainted and I think set Christianity on a false path for many centuries.
So even though the story of Adam and Eve is, I mean, of course, it's in Genesis, and so it is a part of Jewish tradition, but that whole notion of the fall is alien to Jewish theology.
No, the fall is not alien, but the idea of original sin is. Original sin says that we're born with this stain on our souls that sets us on a downward spiral. That's not how the Jewish people see it. We're born as, well, even as Thich Nhat Hanh, the Buddhist monk, says, with seeds of violence in us and seeds of peace. And we have to water the seeds of peace. Otto Rank, who's a very brilliant psychologist of the 20th century, he talks about original wound. And I think that's a far more accurate naming of the reality than original sin. And I think Augustine, by talking about original sin, really set us up for self-hatred, for pessimism, for low self-esteem, to use a contemporary term. And the results of this serve empire building. See, Augustine came along at the time that the Christians inherited the Roman Empire. And if you're going to build an empire, it behooves you to put people on a path of guilt and low self-esteem. Then you get in line and you obey more appropriately.
What exactly did Augustine mean by original sin?
Well, that we are subjected to forces of evil and we really can't get out of it on our own. And that, as I say, we're born with this taint on our soul. Now, indigenous people have told me, even Christian indigenous people have said, you know, we've never understood this idea of original sin. And mothers have told me, you know, they do not believe when they give birth that they're giving birth to something that's tainted. Quite the opposite. It's a glorious experience bringing new life and new existence into the world. And this is the original blessing, therefore. That's what I write about, original blessing instead of original sin.
Why was this concept of original sin so important to Augustine?
Well, that's what's interesting. It was not that important to Augustine. The idea came late in his life when he was arguing with Pelagius, a Celtic theologian, about why there was so much corruption in Rome. And Augustine concluded, well, we're born corrupt. But Pelagius said, no, we're not. We're born with options. We can choose to be corrupt or we could choose to be better. And let's not blame it on an inheritance. But what's interesting is that the church picked up on this. As I say, it was a late idea in Augustine's theology, but the church kind of ran with it and put it on the front burner for centuries.
You're saying this was justification for the church then? I mean, people needed to go to the church, in a sense, to cleanse the sin as much as they could.
That's a part of it, I think, yeah. It definitely served political interests and ecclesial interests, yeah. I think it made the church more indispensable. And frankly, I think that's the main reason why the current Vatican overreacted to my book, Original Blessing, and went kind of ballistic about it. They demanded that the Dominican Order, which I was a member, set up a panel of a commission of theologians to examine my works. And the panel concluded that this is not heretical, etc. But the Vatican did not like that result, and they demanded more severe punitive measures, and ultimately they expelled me from the order. So the Vatican was very nervous about this concept of original blessing.
Is Christianity the only religion with the concept of original sin?
Well, that's interesting. That's right. Islam, too, which also takes the Garden of Eden story, does not believe in original sin. Buddhism does not believe in original sin. They have wonderful teachings about our original nature being a Buddha nature, a pure nature, and we have to find that. And of course, that's such an issue today with so much destruction and havoc going on in the world, so many levels, at the hands of our species. We have to get back to the good news that we have this divine capacity for creativity, for compassion, for forgiveness, for justice making, for celebration, for joy. These are the lessons we have to learn from our spiritual traditions, not more pessimism about our inherited sinfulness.
You're saying original sin leads to pessimism. What can theology do if it's changed to generate hope?
Well, creativity is at the heart of what it means to be human. And with creativity comes optimism. Otto Rank says that pessimism comes from a repression of creativity. Well, original sin ideology represses creativity. It keeps people down, wallowing in their low self-esteem. And an original blessing consciousness, the idea that we're part of a universe that's filled with goodness and that we ourselves are born with goodness and options, this is what builds up the esteem so we can raise children who are creative and can solve some of our problems.
Now, obviously, you think the whole idea of original sin is a terrible problem in our culture, in Christian theology. What about sin itself?
I think that religion has oversold the word sin. It's kind of like crying wolf. And the result is that we've really trivialized the capacity for evil. In fact, I taught a course on evil just 2 weeks ago at our university here, and one of the students said she was raised Southern Baptist, and she said she was taught as a child that everything she did was evil and sinful. And then I asked the class, about 25, how many others had similar experiences, and about 20 of the 25, and it turned out some are Roman Catholic, Presbyterian, Methodist, Episcopalian, Lutheran, and Baptist, were essentially taught the same thing. So the first thing we have to do to talk about human evil, I think, is to get away from the overselling, the sin obsession consciousness of so much of Christianity over the centuries. Again, I put a lot of the blame at the feet of St. Augustine. But once you do that, then you're freer really to talk about evil. Now, St. Thomas Aquinas in the 13th century defines sin this way. He says, sin is misdirected love. And I think that's a powerful statement, and it's really very Jewish, because the Jewish word for sin comes from the word, it's an archery term for missing the mark. And the point is that nothing we do is without any positive energy to it, and that's what Aquinas is saying, it's missing the mark. It's not that shooting an arrow is itself bad, but we're not doing the best with what we've got.
You grew up in the Catholic Church, you became a priest yourself, and I'm guessing that there must have been a real struggle for you personally to grapple with this kind of issue, I mean, to really challenge one of the basic ideas in Christian theology today, this whole notion of original sin. How did you do that at some personal level?
Well, I think I sensed that there was some false teaching going on in my training and in Christianity, especially around the body, around issues of sexuality, around issues of our relationship to nature. I grew up in Wisconsin, I grew up in Madison, and it was such a beautiful experience growing up close to nature and experiencing all four seasons. And I just felt something was amiss in my training as a Dominican, a lot of it unsaid, and it seemed to be a denigration of the body. And of course, as I got into studying it, Augustine actually equates original sin with our sexuality. And I think that this is really a false step. Also, I think it's part of patriarchy's pessimism and kind of an investment in outside redemption, external forces of interference that can save us from our intrinsic worthlessness. And frankly, I think that religion is not holding the same influence today that it did, of course, centuries ago. But instead, I think that the entire consumer addiction and the entire advertising industry in our culture has picked up on the original sin ideology. Because really, we've been told time and time again by our advertisements, you know, that our teeth aren't white enough and our refrigerator isn't square enough and our car isn't potent enough. And so it's all these outside redemptive forces that we can consume and buy that are somehow going to make us likable and lovable and good people.
Matthew Fox is the author of Original Blessing. He spoke with Steve Paulson.